SEC fans, this is John Crist from Saturday Down South. Welcome to another installment of the SDS Podcast, coming to you from the iHeartMedia Studio, WDAE in Tampa, Florida, 620 AM, 95.3 FM. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at SaturdayJC. Our guest for this episode is Ainsley Earhart. Not only is she one of the hosts of Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel, but she happens to be a product of the University of South Carolina. She also wrote a children's book called Take Heart, My Child, A Mother's Dream, about a year ago. By the way, it was number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And now she has another book coming out, Through Your Eyes, My Child's Gift to Me. It comes out October 17th. Be sure to follow her on Twitter as well, at Ainsley Earhart. And listeners, full disclosure, Ainsley and I originally went to Florida State together. We were friends back in the day. Ainsley, thank you so much for joining me. That's the longest introduction I've ever given a guest on this show. It's great to hear your voice after all these years.
Hey, John. Thank you so much. Great to hear your voice, too. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you very much.
Being a writer for Saturday Down South and hosting this podcast. And I know you've won countless awards and a voter for the Heisman Trophy. You've had a great career.
It depends on your definition of the word countless, but very, very sweet, my dear. So the Saturday Down South podcast is brought to you by Ticket City. College football is here. Week 6 is exclusively SEC on SEC action. Georgia and Vanderbilt, Ole Miss and Auburn, LSU, Florida, Arkansas and Ainsley School, South Carolina, Alabama at Texas A&M, and Missouri at Kentucky. Now's the time to get your tickets. Get off the couch. Go to the games, people. We've been working with Ticket City for a long time. They are the experts in the field, having served over 1.5 million customers. They're the place to go for tickets and have been for 30 years. Best of all, they're offering $20 off for all of our Saturday Down South podcast listeners. All you need to do, go to TicketCity.com, enter the discount code SDS20, and you're going to get $20 off your order, the game of your choice. Again, TicketCity.com, discount code SDS20. Get your tickets for SEC football today. And now Ainsley Earhart. Ainsley, I believe the last time we saw each other, and I'm sad to say it was like a decade and a half ago, but you were visiting some mutual friends of ours in Chicago. It was St. Patrick's Day weekend. I was living there at the time, so I had the pleasure of kind of being your unofficial tour guide.
How fun was that? What a great weekend.
It was a lot
that
of fun.
Was prior to like all of us getting married, and I think Lindsay was married at the time. Courtney was not. I was not. I don't think you were married at the time.
Oh, no. I was not marriage material at that point. Absolutely not.
You've always been marriage material. You've always been such a gentleman and so nice, John. We have great memories from Florida State. I went there my freshman and sophomore year and met you, I think, my freshman year.
I think so. And yes, you were Courtney's little sister in the sorority, and I had all kinds of friends there, and we were both heavily involved in student government and the like, and kind of ran in similar circles. It was a lot of fun. And you're kind of taking me to my first question because, of course, you know, SEC football fans, that's more my core audience, but I wanted to get you on as sort of a outside-the-box guest, and I wanted you to sort of compare and contrast your Florida State experience versus your South Carolina experience. You know, for the people who don't know, Florida State, believe it or not, does not offer a journalism program. South Carolina did. That was clearly one of the reasons why you wanted to go back home and go get your degree there and look where you are now career-wise. But from a football perspective, you saw Florida State at its absolute peak. You saw South Carolina really, really down in the depths at the time. Compare and contrast them for us.
That was hard because I grew up a South Carolina fan, and then it was so exciting to go to a school that was so well-known for their football program, and so everyone is very involved, and actually everyone's involved with football at both schools. And the beauty of being a South Carolina fan is it doesn't matter if we're good or bad. We're bad more than we are good, unfortunately. We all have fun, and the tailgating is a blast. It's just it's a wonderful experience. When I was going to school there, everyone dressed up for the games. The guys wore ties, and the girls dressed up in like sundresses. So it was a formal event, and there's beach music playing at every tailgate lot, tons of tailgating spots, and people pay big money to have these spots. And in the center of the parking lot, there's usually like a platform that's risen up high, and their bathrooms up there, and a catered meal or catered food, and a band. And when the game's over, everyone listens to music. Then when the game's over, people go back to their tailgating spots. They open up the trunks of their car, like most schools, and then you go up to that platform and you dance. And so that was always the tradition growing up. We had tickets to the games. My grandparents had tickets to all the South Carolina games. So my grandparents lived 2 hours away from us. They would come in and stay with us because I lived in Columbia, which is where the university is. And then we would all go to the game and tailgate. It was just a blast. So then when I had the opportunity to go to Florida State, to a school that had an amazing program and national champs, it was just a phenomenal time to be there. And as far as the team's concerned, clearly FSU was a better team at the time than USC was, and we couldn't win a game. We went, I think we had two seasons where we might have won one game, if memory serves, and then Lou Holtz came in and we started winning more games, and that was great. But, you know, people go and support the team no matter if we win or not, because we don't have an NFL team in South Carolina. So people are college football fans, and the SEC was just such an amazing conference to be a part of, and we just had a blast. So, you know, when you're growing up, when you're in high school, you go to the games. At least I did as a girl. I went to the games so I could dress up and have fun and socialize. And so for me, that's what football represents. It's just being with friends and family and tradition and tailgating and the food and then watching football, good or bad.
Yeah, your memory is correct, by the way. I believe your senior year at South Carolina, Brad Scott was still the coach. By the way, former Florida State offensive coordinator. And right. You went 1-10. And then Coach Holtz comes in to much fanfare his very first year in Columbia, 0-11. So you weren't exactly there for a murderer's row time for the Gamecocks. But, yeah, again, you're sort of leading me to what I wanted to talk about, especially with my fan base and the people who read my stuff and listen to this show, is the inevitable conversation of ACC versus SEC. And you talk about the passion and what the tailgating experience was like and the bar hopping and the post-game dancing in the parking lot. And this is for a team that was terrible and for a program that was going nowhere. When you talked about, say, Florida State when we were there, the basketball program didn't have much of a reputation. They were middle of the pack. No one really paid attention. No one really cared. The fan base didn't care. The students weren't really into it. Versus the SEC situation at South Carolina. And even in the absolute depths of the program, when things couldn't have gotten worse, it sounds like the support is always there. That's what these people have. That's what they grew up with. And the product on the field, yes, you want a winner, but you're going to support your team one way or another, and you're sure not going to lose a party.
I'll tell you, so part of the reason too, John, is because in South Carolina, if you grow up there, most people do not leave. And that is one of the beautiful things about that state. Like if you're in any city in South Carolina, you're going to know someone who knew your dad in college, or you're going to know someone who knew your mom. Or if you live in Charleston and you're from Spartanburg and you need a doctor, you call your dad and he said, I have a fraternity brother that lives in Charleston. He's a doctor. He's great. Call him. He'll know where to send you. And then when I moved down to Florida, I didn't know where to get my oil changed in my car. I didn't know what doctor to go to. I didn't know where to go, you know, what dentist to go to. Those are all the things that you get in South Carolina. It doesn't matter where you are. Everyone's connected. Most people don't leave that state, whereas in Florida, it's so big. You have a lot of transients from the north, and you don't necessarily get that hometown feeling. Granted, when I joined a sorority, a lot of the girls that were from Tallahassee were able to direct me with all those questions. But the beautiful thing about South Carolina is people really don't leave, and if you do leave, you always come back, or you have some sort of a connection. I mean, I feel like I have one foot in New York, which is where I live, and one foot in South Carolina. And I still will be always connected to FSU. I'll always be connected to Texas because I lived there for a brief stint in my life, too, and worked for a TV station there. But South Carolina is my home, and it's just you're just born with – you're either a Clemson fan or you're a Carolina fan. If you live in Charleston, they don't have a football team, so you either go to the Citadel games or you drive 2 hours to Columbia and go to the game. So in that rivalry is fierce. We usually – in South Carolina, we all like to say we pull for the other team, Clemson or Carolina, depending on how you grew up, as long as we're not playing each other. And then when we are playing each other, Clemson's got such a great team this year, they're going to give us a run for our money. But when I grew up, my grandparents went to Carolina, my uncle played baseball at Carolina, my dad went to Carolina, my grandparents on his side were they watched every single game, and my grandfather was such a gentle Christian man, and the only time I would ever hear him say a cuss word is watching our team. It's just in your blood. You're either, if you're in the upstate, you're a Clemson fan primarily. If you're in the mid-state, middle of part of the state, the Midlands, or if you're in the lower country, usually you're a South Carolina fan. So it's pretty divided.
I have to tell the listeners here, Ainsley and I did not script this interview, but again, she's taking me exactly where I want to go. And if you think the Earhart family wasn't connected in the state of South Carolina, as I recall, I think there were 700 people at her wedding. So yeah, they knew quite a lot of folks in the Palmetto State. But
that is traditional. That's how every South Carolina wedding is.
I can't imagine how long the gift registry was. But anyway, I digress. This is what I can't figure out. I know you tried to explain it in your previous answer, but you went to Florida State originally. Outside of Florida and, of course, Miami, the two biggest in-state rivals, if there's one program that Seminoles fans can't stand, it's Clemson. And then you spent a lot of time in Columbia growing up. South Carolina is clearly part of who you are. That's where you graduated from. You're a Gamecock through and through. Somehow, I still can't figure it out. Somehow, you married a Clemson quarterback. Your husband is Will Proctor, Rod the Cradle, by the way. And you married a Clemson quarterback. Please explain to me how that happens with Garnet and Gold in your blood and Garnet and Black in your blood. You marry a Clemson quarterback.
Okay, he's not that much younger than
5 years. Come on.
I was living in New York, and he took me out on a blind date. And so that's how we met. But I did love having the South Carolina connection. And it was hard at first, I think, because I wasn't sure how my dad was going to react. But everyone just kind of poked fun at me. They didn't really care. I mean, they liked him instantly. We really didn't care so much about it. It was just a little ironic. But it was nice to have a South Carolina connection in New York City. And his grandparents are originally from New York. So I loved that he liked New York and he liked South Carolina and was willing to go home for the games. So I think, you know, the rivalry is there. So when we went home for our first Carolina game, a few people made some comments because he had not been out of college for that long. So people recognized him and made some comments about just what's a Clemson guy kind of doing at the South Carolina stadium. So I think that might have been a little hard for him, but he was a trooper. And so I just loved having that connection, and it was kind of nice to – he loved the Greenville area, which is where my grandparents lived, and I grew up in Spartanburg for the first few years of my life. So I liked having a hometown, someone who loved my hometown and loved my state as much as I did in New York.
Now, you and Will have a daughter, Hayden. She's lovely. Those sparkling blues are pretty impressive on the Facebook page. But if we went into her closet and opened up the wardrobe, what are we going to see first? Are we going to see Garnet and Gold? Are we going to see Garnet in Black? Are we going to see that god-awful orange and regalia?
I will say, I told you earlier, I pull for Clemson when they're not playing Carolina. I do not pull for Clemson when they're playing Florida State. But if you
Good
open
girl.
My daughter's closet, yeah, you're going to see a lot of smock dresses because she's always has a bow and a smock dress on because I love that Southern style. And in the back of the closet, she's not big enough to wear it yet. She has two South Carolina cheerleading uniforms that we got when she was a baby. We don't have any Clemson gear in there. We did get a Clemson onesie at one point, and I put her in it, and she was crying. So I took a picture of her and sent it to my husband because he was at the game at the time, and I was back in New York with our daughter. And I said, this is how she feels about Clemson.
I think all of our South Carolina listeners are quietly applauding right now. You've mentioned New York City a couple times. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that a couple of weeks ago, ESPN's College Game Day brought the Traveling Roadshow to Times Square. First time ever. Wow. They're in New York City. It was a big, big piece of news in the college football world. You had a lot of people thinking it was a brilliant idea from a marketing perspective, a new spot, something they'd never tried before. But there were a lot of hardcore college football people wondering, why in God's name are you there? No place in the country cares less about college football than the Big Apple. So when that went down a couple of Saturdays ago, I know you heard about it. You work in television. What was your reaction to that happening?
I will tell you that this town loves college football, despite what some of your listeners might think. I mean, I know most people love to visit New York. They would never want to live here, especially down south where I'm from. Most of the guys that come out, they're like, oh, I don't know how you do this. A lot of the women love it because of shopping. But there's always something to do. But I'll tell you, on Saturdays, there are bars throughout the city, one bar per college, that is dedicated to serving the people, the fans. And we all pack into the mason jars, the one we go to for South Carolina. And we pack into the mason jar. And every TV is on South Carolina. They really cater to all the fans. It's a lot of fun. And then there's Clemson has a bar. Florida State has a bar. It's just a great opportunity if you're a fan up here of college football and you want to go watch it with your classmates, you can. And every time I go there, I see a bunch of people that I graduated with, and it's always fun. So I thought it was genius. I love, of course, that, you know what, why not? If this is a town that's not used to college football, like some of your viewers or your listeners might think, why not open us up to that then? Yeah, there are a lot of people here that love the Giants or the Jets, and they love going to the NFL games. But that's on Sunday. We need something to do on Saturdays.
You're listening to the Saturday Down South podcast. Our guest is Fox & Friends host and South Carolina product Ainsley Earhart. If you're listening to the SDS podcast, then you know the South loves football. And maybe the one thing the South loves even more, it's Crystal. That's right. Crystal, home with a classic Crystal burger ready to hook you up for your tailgate. The Crystal, the one you grew up with, the one you loved in college well after midnight, right there on West Tennessee Street, if you remember, Ainsley.
Yes!
Right now, it's only 79 cents all day, every day, as many as you want, 79 cents. And because no tailgate is complete without chicken wings, Crystal has you covered there, too. All wings, any wings, 49 cents each, Saturdays and Sundays. That's boneless, traditional, buffalo, barbecue, any wing, any flavor, 49 cents each, all weekend long. And best of all, Crystal is taking care of the Saturday Down South podcast listeners. Text SDS, the letters SDS, to 37793 right now, and you're going to get two free crystals. That's SDS to 37793. 79-cent crystals, 49-cent wings. I guarantee, if you show up to your tailgate with a steamer pack of crystals, you're going to hurt your hand from giving all those high fives. Stop by your local Crystal today. Ainsley, let's sort of change topics here a little bit. And again, you and I go way back. I want to have a few laughs with you. But as you said, you were born in Spartanburg. You spent a little time in both North and South Carolina. But when I first met you, you know, 18, 19 years old, I think you and I can agree, there are bad Southern accents and there are good Southern accents. And I used to tell you that you had the most perfect Southern accent I had ever heard in my entire life. I once told you that I would put quarters in a machine just to listen to you read the phone book. But then you go into this line of work in journalism, and the first thing you do is that you have to get with speech coaches to learn how to drop this Southern accent, and you have to go very bland and very Midwestern. It positively broke my heart. Please tell the story of how you did that. And when you get back home and you maybe get a chance to watch a game, or you're hanging out with family in Greenville or wherever it may happen to be, please tell me that Southern Ainsley still comes out every now and then.
Oh, it does. John, next time I see you, we're going to have some beers together.
God, I hope so.
Out after I've had a few beers. But honestly, most people that I meet say, we don't hear the Southern accent on TV, but we can hear it when you're talking to us. So I think it's still there a little bit. I didn't actually intentionally mean to lose it. I did take one class to learn how to say words correctly, because growing up,
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, in South Carolina, we say, like, the number 10 is how you're properly supposed to say it. I used to say 10, like T-I-N. And so the voice coach just would work with me on reading my scripts and how I would say words incorrectly. So that was one of the words. Another one was like garage. I used to say garage instead of garage, or insurance instead of insurance. I would make it two words, like insurance. And so she would teach me, like, say insurance. It's one word. So those are little things that, just growing up in my house, it's just Southern, and we draw things out, or we make them two words instead of one. I don't know. So I just worked with her about that. But really, you learn to lose your accent just by being in the profession for so long. And I've also been in New York for 10 and a half years. But everywhere I go in New York, people say, where are you from? You're not from New York, right? So they hear the accent. But when I go home, people think I've lost it, because it's not as deep as it was when I was growing up. But I am proud of the South. I love the South. I love Tallahassee. Tallahassee is so much like, it just reminds me so much of South Carolina. It's so beautiful. But, yeah, I didn't intentionally do it. Sorry, John.
Yeah, I remember telling people back in the day, if you wanted to sweeten up your tea and you knew Ainsley when she was 19 years old, you didn't need sugar. Just let her talk near your glass and you'd be just fine.
So you should have been my boss. You should have told me, we don't need to change anything. We want you to say 10.
So you have a very interesting career path as a journalist, and go with me here for a second. I equate it similar kind of to how a football coach works. So your career path as a journalist versus what it's like as a football coach. You know, when you're a coach, you start off kind of like as an unpaid graduate assistant, maybe at your alma mater. Then you get a chance to be a position coach at a small school. And then maybe you get promoted and you're a position coach at a bigger school. And then you finally get your first shot to be a coordinator, but you have to go back to that smaller school to get it. And then finally you can move up to that bigger school and be a coordinator again. Maybe one day you'll get a chance to be a head coach. But again, you got to change the dresses and go back to another smaller school. Who knows? Maybe a decade, maybe two down the road, you get a chance to have a big-time, high-profile job as a head coach in the SEC. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of practice. It takes incredible family support. It's not that difficult. I'm sorry. It's not that different from being a journalist. You had a job straight out of school in Columbia, I believe. You went to San Antonio. You mentioned your time in Texas. And then you had a chance to go to New York. So your path was a little quicker. But I'm sure you've been in the same room as tons of journalists who did 2 years here and then a year and a half there and 3 years here. And it's murder on a family. It's murder on a resume. To get to where you're going is fabulous. But not a lot of people see the actual journey along the way.
That's so true. You're absolutely right. I grew up, my father was a coach. He was a college basketball coach at Wofford College, which is a small college in
the Terriers.
State in Spartanburg. Yeah, exactly. You know it?
Of course.
Good for you. So Wofford's a great school, a private school, really hard to get into, and the families there are amazing, and the support system was wonderful. But no, I totally get that, and that's why I think my dad always just instilled in us, do not give up on your dreams. My dad put himself through college, and his goal was to put the three of us through college. So he just wasn't making enough money in college coaching at a small private school. So, and Mom was a school teacher, so he decided to leave to work for one of his players' dads. Everyone who knows my dad loves him and respects him because he's just an amazing man of character. Both my parents are. So his player's dad wanted him to work for him. And dad ended up becoming the number one salesman in that guy's company and worked for him for forever until he retired. But or worked for that company. The company changed hands in the middle of my dad working there. But anyway, dad was with that company for decades. And but I always knew my dad missed coaching. And so when we moved to Columbia, dad was coaching at the local Catholic school. He would coach it at Ben Lippin, which was the local Christian school, for a few years. But he kind of dabbled in it still, and he always coached one of my brother's teams. He really, really missed it. So dad would encourage us to not stop at anything, just to try to pursue your dreams and get to where you want to be before you get married and before you have children. And so that way you're not pressured to get out of, you know, when you're a journalist in the beginning, you're making no money. You're traveling around the country. You always have a bag packed because you have to be on the road to go interview someone around the country. And so that's your life, and you know that. So you have to be passionate about it, which I am, and I love it. And I was 39 years old when I had my daughter, my only child. So you do sacrifice that. Would I have loved to have had four kids? Would I love to have six kids? Yes, that would have been so much fun. But my priority growing up was just focusing so much on pursuing my dreams. I wanted to be so happy and love my career and get to where I was going. So when I got the job as the main anchor on Fox and Friends Monday through Friday, that was like my dream job. And I feel like finally, John, I can breathe. Like I loved the journey. I am so blessed. God was with me every step of the way. But now I feel like I can finally breathe and live my life a little bit, and that's what my dad was talking about. So if anyone's listening that is young and trying to pursue their goals, or even if you're older and you're trying to pursue your goals, just go for it. Don't ever let fear stand in the way of you and your destiny, because God has big plans for you, and he gave you the desires of your heart. So you've got to go with that, and you've got to do what you love doing. And John, you know what that's like.
Now, you're a journalist.
Your
and
dream.
Yeah, I mean, you're a journalist and I'm a journalist. Now, granted, you're talking policy with the president. I'm talking blocking and tackling with, you know, the offensive line coach at Mississippi State. But the priority is a little different. But you're right about the fact that I remember being a beat writer for the Chicago Bears when I was in my early 30s and I wasn't married and I didn't have any kids and I didn't have a mortgage and I had the life. But now I'm 42 years old. I've been married for quite some time now. I have an almost 4-year-old, an almost 2-year-old, and that sort of on the daily beat lifestyle, the nights, the weekends, the travel, it is murderous on my day to day these days. So, and I wanted to talk about that with you because it sounds like you had a similar journey, of course. The amount of family support you need to be able to survive something like this is very similar to a lot of, say, the coaching wives out there, because maybe 1 out of 100 ever even get a 6-figure job. Maybe 1 out of 1,000 gets that incredible 7-figure job. There are so much the sacrifices that have to be made and the things you have to be done and the cookies you have to bake for the fundraiser. It just never, never stops. But you can get there one of these days. But again, you're one of the lucky ones. You're one of the few. Now, granted, you earned every dime, but along the way, it's not that dissimilar. Again, sort of the coaching thing and the journalist thing.
Right. No, and I do thank I thank God every day for blessing me in so many ways. And I do think what you said, family support is most important. I mean, my parents have supported me. They could have said, Ainsley, we don't want you to leave South Carolina. They said, find your way. Pursue your dreams. When I was going to transfer to USC, Mom and Dad said, if you don't like it and you want to go back to FSU and you miss your friends, you can do that. This is your life. This is your life. This is not a dress rehearsal. You only have one. And they were very adamant about not quitting team sports when we were growing up if we didn't like it. And so I thought, and they always said Earhart's never quit, so I thought they would never want me to leave Florida State. But when I told them I was interested in coming to USC because of the journalism school, the broadcasting school was so good, they were supportive. And then they said, if you hate it, you can go back to Florida State. Like, they've never tried to weigh me down. And my parents love us so much. But I know some parents, and I'm probably this way with my daughter, their kids are their lives. You know, they don't have a life outside of their kids. And my parents are not like that. They're very social. They have their own lives. And I think that's healthy. At least it was for me, because they never tied me down. They never said, you can't go to New York. And I know that Mom cries every time I say goodbye to her. I know it's hard. And as a parent, I can't imagine saying goodbye to Hayden and she, you know, moves 1,000 miles away. That's going to crush me. But Mom comes to visit all the time. Dad comes to visit. There are ways around it. You have to let your kids be themselves. And as far as your spouse is concerned, they have to support you. And I know that if you're dating someone or you're young and you're toying with the idea of getting married, make sure it's someone that will support your dreams, and you have to support theirs. And when work calls and says, we need you to get on the road, your spouse is going to say, let me help you make this happen. You've got to go. You can't say no to this. You need to do this. Because the people who say yes, yes, yes to their bosses, they're the ones that get the big job, because they're the ones the boss can rely on, and they know they're willing to go. There's been so many people I've worked with in this profession that don't make it because they're lazy, or they're not willing to say yes, and they're not willing to go, or their spouse doesn't want them to. And the only way to be successful is, I mean, I grew up in a family where your work was important. We were hard workers. My mom worked tirelessly, and she loved her job. She was a teacher, but she left at 7 in the morning. So guess who fed us breakfast? My dad. I'm sure now that I'm a mom, Mom wanted to be there for us and do that, but she didn't. She went out to make a paycheck to pay for our clothes and our food. Dad paid for the mortgage and all the other bills, and he did that and, you know, was left coaching his dream job to go and do that for his kids. So we were workers, and Dad was up until midnight writing thank you notes to all of his clients that he saw that day, and just really made them feel special. So I just watched my parents and what they did and the sacrifices they made for us, and I just wanted to be that type of a worker too.
Now, you're a worker. You obviously come from a family of workers. I can't let you off the show until we talk about your area of expertise with your show and your platform, but we got to talk about the country a little bit. You had a chance to cover the Obama White House. You now have a chance to cover the Trump White House. You had the type of perspective that 1 in 1 million people have. There are people with very, very serious resumes and pretty impressive business cards who are dying to be a guest on your show to talk to you, not the other way around. So I want to hear what you think things are different, how they're the same, how they'll never be the same, how they'll always be different with the change in the leadership we've had in this country this past year.
You know, I don't – thank you for saying that. I don't see myself as this big celebrity. I don't see myself that people are dying to get on TV with me, to interview with me. I appreciate you saying that. I remember when I was a child and Oprah Winfrey, who at the time was probably the highest paid female in my profession or even in the country. And she said, we all put our shoes on the same way. Or I think she said pants. We all put our pants on the same way. And I feel that way. I mean, we're all just doing the best we can. And my job is seen so glamorous to everyone because I'm in the spotlight and I do have this amazing job. But my job is not more important than your job or when you're in the same profession, but a bus driver's job or someone who's taking out the trash or whatever. I mean, we're all just doing the best we can, and we're all on the same journey. My job is glamorous, but I don't look at it that way because I've been doing it for more than 20 years, and I do tell interns, I'm like, you don't expect to get the main anchor job when you're right out of college because you're not going to get there. It takes time, and you have to work your way to the top, and there's a reason for that. Thank goodness, now I can say that after 20-some-odd years in the business, there's a reason for that because it humbles you. It makes you realize all this hard work, finally you can breathe, you're grateful, and you know everyone out there is doing the same thing. And you know you respect your elders. I respect people that have been in their profession and they're retiring at 65 years old because they've done the same thing for that amount of time. And whether or not they love it or they hate it, they've put in hours, you know, and there are grueling moments in every profession. And so I don't look at my job as so glamorous. I look at it as a platform to wake people up every morning across America. I am so grateful to do it and grateful to the people who watch the show. But I have to remember, the people who watch our show, everyone who wakes up and makes a choice to watch Fox and Friends is putting food on my table because our ratings are going up. Therefore, we can charge more for our commercials, and that means we're the top-rated show, and that means that I get to keep my job. So I am indebted to the people who watch me and listen to me, and I don't take them for granted. I will always remember from where I came. I will always remember that, you know, I just grew up in South Carolina, small family, the three kids, or medium-sized family, I guess, but didn't have many cousins. There are just six grandkids and no grandkids other than us on my dad's side. We just were a small family. We worked hard, and my dreams came true. And this South Carolina girl ended up going to Florida State, then moving back to South Carolina, working there, then going to Texas, lived in Massachusetts for a little while, lived in New York, and I've seen at least the country because of my profession. So, and get to talk to the president and get to have these great interviews, and it's pretty phenomenal. I just am very grateful.
Ainsley, my last question for you, and this is a podcast, not a live show. I mean, our listeners need to realize that you just came off the set on your own show, 3 hours of live television, and picked up the phone with me about 15 minutes later. But especially after what happened in Las Vegas the other night, don't get me started on that because my opinion varies greatly than most of the people who digest my content. But there's a lot of people who think that we're more divided as a nation than ever before, and others think, you know what, that's not the case. There's just more media coverage out there, and bad news gets a lot better ratings than good news. I know that your show and your channel is accused of that as much as anybody these days. Just very plainly, how do you view our country these days through your incredibly unique prism?
You know, I like to be positive, and I believe that most people want the same thing that you want, John, for your kids and that I want for my kids. And that's middle America, that's the southern states. You know, we want to support the president no matter if we agree with him or not, because that's what we were taught to do. We were taught to, the Bible talks about respecting our elders and respecting our leaders and praying for our leaders. And, you know, in my church on Sundays, that's what we do. We pray for our leaders. And I'm grateful of that, no matter who the president is. So I believe in great things for our country. I believe that evil should not prevail and will not prevail. I know that there's good and there's evil, but my faith in God is much stronger than my faith in evil. And I know that we're going to be okay as a country. I mean, the Bible says that. Scripture says that we can take heart. God says he has overcome the world. And my first children's book was written about that. It's called Take Heart, My Child. And the scripture that I put in the book is about that, is that very scripture. Because I've said that on air before. And when I was meeting with the publishers, they said, that's it. That's the title of your book, Take Heart, My Child, because I was pregnant at the time. Take heart, my little Hayden, my precious Hayden. Mama's gotcha. Mama's going to be with you all of the days of your life until I take my last breath and I go to meet our Maker. And I'll be waiting on you there. But I have great, great confidence in our wonderful country, and I know that we're strong and we are the superpower, and we're going to prevail. God won't let us down.
Ainsley, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to catch up. And when I finally make it back to New York for a visit one of these days, I hope you can return the favor and play tour guide for me.
I'd love to do that. Thank you, John, for having me. God bless.
That was Fox and Friends host and South Carolina graduate Ainsley Earhart, who her new children's book, Through Your Eyes, My Child's Gift to Me, comes out October 17th, just a few weeks away. It's available for pre-order right now. You can find it on Amazon, or you can visit ainsleyearhartbooks.com, exactly how it sounds. She's donating some of the proceeds to Folds of Honor, which provides educational scholarships to the children and spouses of our fallen and disabled service members while serving our nation, because of course she is. That's what Ainsley does. Remember to follow her on Twitter as well, at Ainsley Earhart. And thank you for listening to the Saturday Down South podcast. Special thanks to our friends at WDAE in Tampa and our sponsors, Ticket City and Crystal. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast is located. Be sure to give the show a rating as well. My name is John Crist, and for all SEC all the time, visit SaturdayDownSouth.com.